This is MemberCare Media, a media ministry of TWR. Up next, a conversation we believe will be helpful to you. This is a copyright production of MemberCare Media and may not be reproduced without prior written consent.
Part of our self-image as Christians needs to be that I'm created in the image of God. And that image is alive and well. As a believer, you now have a mind that thinks as your mind would not have been able to think prior to your coming into that relationship with Jesus Christ. You have the ability to choose now that you did not have before. You have the capacity to love now as you didn't have before. But what else did he say about in 1 Peter? If you have your Bibles with you and turn to 1 Peter, beside the matter of being saved and being that new creature, in the 23rd verse, he talks about being born again. You know, we use that term a great deal, but it doesn't appear a great deal in Scripture. In the 3rd chapter of John, Jesus talks to Nicodemus about being born again. In this first chapter of 1 Peter, he talks about the new birth and being born again. And he's talking about coming into a family, becoming the child of God. Bailu and I have 4 kids. We went several years without having kids. And we said, Lord, if you want us to adopt a child, dump one in our laps. It's exactly what he did. Within a matter of days, doctor called us and said, have you ever thought of adopting? We said, yeah. And he said, I should have thought of you before, but there's a baby that's going to be born in about 3 weeks. I have been asked by the parents to find a home for that baby. Would you be interested? Think it over. And we said, yes, we would. He said, think it over. We said, we did. And so 3 weeks later, we had a baby in our home. And we were delighted. And 10.5 months later, we had another baby in our home. And then 15 months after that, we had another baby in our home. And then less than 2 years after that, Michelle was born. And so here we had these 4 little kids, all under 4. And I was coming out of the nursery in church one day, and I had one little guy in each arm. And we just had the 2 little kids at that point. And a lady came up to me, and she said, which one is yours? I looked down. I didn't want to make any mistake and take the wrong kid out of a nursery. That's not good business. And I looked down and I checked him out and I said, both of them? She said, no, which one is really yours? And I said, both of them. She said, no, which one did you adopt and which one was born to you? Now, if any of you who are here happen to be parents who adopted children, you will understand my response. I was angry. I didn't explode, but it welled up inside and I could hardly respond to her. Because I wanted her and the rest of the world to know that it didn't matter how they came to us, they were both my sons. And Betty Lou and I learned something about the significance of being adopted in the Beloved. That when the Scripture says the Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Jesus Christ, that's a special relationship. That God has made me His child. And when Peter writes and talks about God and Father, he's brought me into a relationship where I'm the child of the King of Kings. That does something to the way I look at myself. And then Peter goes on to say in the 2nd chapter, he talks about being built. In the 4th verse of the 2nd chapter, he talks about being a part of a building, of building stones being put together. Paul catches the same sense of that in Ephesians 2 when he says, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. My perspective on myself needs to be that, number one, I'm created in the image of God, and because I'm saved, that image is alive and well. That, number two, I am the child of God, because if any man be in Christ, not only is he a new creature, but as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God. And thirdly, I'm the workmanship of God. that God has started something in me, and He does intend to bring it to fruition. And He does some things in us that we cannot do for ourselves. And we don't always like the pressure of it. Boy, there are times when we chafe and groan and mumble about the pressure that He brings to bear. But the workman is shaping that which ultimately I'm going to say, that's not only good from God's standpoint, that's good from my standpoint and the standpoint of everybody that has to live with me. Oh, one last thing. Because as Peter continues to write to these people who are scattered abroad, who are strangers, he says in the 9th verse, he says that God is putting together this building, and He's doing it to demonstrate His glory in the midst of an alien society. And he writes to these people and he says, you're strangers and aliens, and you live in a society where you don't really belong. Again, Paul catches the same sense of that when he writes to the Corinthians and he says, we are ambassadors of Jesus Christ. That's not just a cute thing to say. He's saying that because that's what we are. You see, there's a world of difference between a tourist and an ambassador. A tourist goes to smell the flowers and take pictures and eat the food and come home and say, I've been there. An ambassador says, I am here as the official representative of the King and the kingdom that has placed me here. And what I say and how I function demonstrates the mindset of that King and that kingdom. And God has left us where we are in this world not just to take up space. We are not tourists. We are the ambassadors of Jesus Christ. And when you begin to see yourselves in that perspective, because of belonging to Jesus Christ, that you are new creatures, that you are in the image of God with His image alive and well, that you are the children of God, that you are the workmanship of God, and you're the ambassador of God, that does something to the way you perceive yourself and how you behave, how it affects one's life. You see, our perspective, how we see things, determines how we live things and how we act out what we really believe. Now, that's all part of perspective. The second thing that Peter is saying is, and be self-controlled. You know, when we talk about self-control, there's something that really grates us about control. We want to be free. And if I were to ask everyone here to write a definition of freedom, the chances are pretty good, and I would do the same thing if I weren't prepared, that most people in the room would write something like this: freedom is the ability to do anything I want to do. And that sounds like a reasonable definition of freedom until you think about the things that you want to do. Now, we have some very basic instincts that God has placed within us. There's a kind of a self-instinct. It's self-protection. It's a thing that keeps us driving on the right side of the road when other people are driving on the other side of the road. Or if you happen to be in a country where they drive on the left side of the road, keeps you on the left side of the road while people drive on the other side of the road. But it's one of the things that helps us to protect ourselves against getting mangled in all kinds of situations. That's not bad. God has given us that capacity to try not to be hurt very seriously. And so there are certain recognizable and reasonable inhibitions. But when that self-instinct is allowed to go to its extreme, it creates something that we're not particularly pleased with. The individual who has no control over that self-protective instinct will stand on the edge of a highway and watch a 3-year-old wander into the road and see a truck coming and will stand there saying, boy, I sure hope that little kid gets out of the road. And the truck's getting closer and the person says, get out of the road, little kid. And the truck comes and runs over the child. And the person who could have rescued the child stands there because they were afraid that if they ran the risk of taking that child out of the road, that maybe they would trip Or maybe the truck would be coming faster than they had anticipated, and maybe they would be run over with the truck. And somehow we have a problem with the idea of being a coward. The self-instinct is a good instinct, but if it's not controlled, it produces a coward. We have social instincts. We're social creatures. We like to get along with other people. That's good. That keeps us from doing foolish things like reaching over and hitting the person who's next to us just because we felt like hitting the person who's next. Don't do that. And we have, that's a social instinct. That's good. But the social instinct allowed to function freely without any control makes us social chameleons. And we behave one way when we're with the people from Bible college, and another way when we're with people at the church, and another way with people that don't know us in either of those settings, and another way with our families, and we change from place to place in order to please the particular group we're with, and we become social chameleons. And there are all kinds of problems with that in terms of a behavior and how that behavior affects our own relationship to Jesus Christ. The sex instinct, it's a marvelous servant. It's a horrible master. And back several months ago now, a man by the name of Bundy died in Florida. A man who demonstrated what happens when the sexual instinct that is there because God has placed it there. God was not surprised when your drives appeared. He didn't say, oh, how'd that happen? God made you just the way you are. But God also made you as you are with certain controls that are there to enable you to function in a way that doesn't make you the victim of your own drives. You see, freedom is not the ability to do anything I want to do. Freedom is the ability to do what I ought to do.
This feature is a presentation of Member Care Media. Thanks for taking the time to listen. We invite you to check out our website further. We offer audio features and resources to help you in your work and daily life. In addition, we have links to other helpful websites that will be an encouragement to you and your family. This is a copyright production of Member Care Media and may not be reproduced without prior written consent.